Hello, and welcome back to Freedom Revamped, the podcast. I am your host, Deshawn, and I am joined by Ms. Devana, who goes by Dev. She is a mental health advocate and the founder of Therapy. Hello.
Hello, everyone.
We are so excited to have her on today for that exact topic. Today, we will be discussing the importance of not just praying, but also focusing on our mental health. So, before we get too far into our conversation, Dev, it is a tradition here to ask each and every one of our guests what their definition of freedom is.
Ooh, the definition of freedom to me would just be someone being able to be their self at all times, and then also utilize that version of yourself to inspire others.
I love that. I think it's very important to allow our own lives to be a testimony to others. So for you to say being your true self and allowing that to inspire others, I think that's so important. So now that you've defined freedom, how would you say that you go about practicing, whether it be on a daily or a weekly basis?
So personally, the way that I practice being free is allowing myself to do the things that I really want and love in my life, because there was a time period where I wasn't doing that and I wasn't staying true to myself. But now that I am, you know, when I want to do something, if it's, you know, reasonable, I do it. You know, life is short. And so I take advantage of every opportunity. I cherish every friendship, every person that I meet. And that's really just pretty much how I do it. I cherish every day and every opportunity and just live it to the fullest.
I agree. Carpe diem is the saying, and it rings true day after day. It's so important to live in the now, because specifically right now, what we have going on, there's so much uncertainty with the pandemic that sometimes we get stuck in thinking about what's next. Or sometimes we wallow in the past. So it's very important to appreciate and enjoy the now. So I am very excited about today's topic because I think it is something that has caused a little bit of controversy, I guess I could say, amongst younger believers and older believers, the way in which we look at mental health and just the daily dealings of life. So our topic is praying and going to therapy. And that's the name of your business. So I want to know what sparked you giving it that name.
So basically, Pray and Go to Therapy blossomed from a need that I saw in the community. So pretty much in the Christian and the Black community. And there's just a disconnect between people's spiritual lives and how it affected their outlook on mental health. And I really just wanted to bridge that gap and help people understand that the two things really just coincide with one another.
I love that. So that leads me to my first question. What are your thoughts on how Christians handle mental health? Oftentimes we hear people say, pray about it. So I think it's ironic that we're talking about this topic and it's phrased the way it is. But what are your thoughts on how we as Christians handle our mental health?
I definitely think Christians view mental health just the way that they have been taught. And so in the church, like you said, it's taught, you know, pray about it. Whatever issues you have, give it to God, you know, and he'll take care of it for you. But I think a lot of people don't understand that the same way that we view mental health, I mean, the same way that we view, you know, our physical health is the same way that we should view our mental health. You know, like you wouldn't have someone who just has cancer say, okay, you know what, just come to the church and pray about it. You know, you don't need chemo, you don't need surgery, don't go to the doctor. You wouldn't tell them those things. So it's kind of like the same thing with our mental health, and that's the same approach. But I think there's such a stigma tied to seeking therapy, seeking mental health help, that no one wants to be shunned or turned away or thought of as having maybe a less of faith because, you know, they're taking, you know, a different route, an alternative route to what, you know, the people in the church deem what they should be doing.
I agree. I think for me personally, I grew up in the church. So I'm used to hearing people say things like I said, pray about it, or it's going to get better, or give it to God, or whatever the case may be, or even, you know, leaving it at the altar. But sometimes it's very hard to do that. That's easier said than done. So for me growing up, a lot of the things that I was battling with, I would say my adolescence, like up until the point that I became a young adult, I didn't know how to deal with those things. And I wish that I had started therapy earlier to hone in on the problems that I had going on, so that I could have learned more about myself then and not had to learn about it later.
Right.
I'm 26 and I just had my first therapy session 2 weeks ago. And I'm
congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. It really is something to be congratulated about, because it was probably hands down the most enlightening experience. And it was just like the first meeting with my therapist, and just thinking about all that I potentially missed out on by not taking advantage of therapy. And, you know, I'm saying that from a privileged place. I work at a job where my insurance covers it entirely, so I don't have to come out of pocket for anything. So I'm blessed to be able to see my therapist without any copay. And just having that conversation and having them speak to me from a unbiased position, one that was subjective, and they have no idea, you know, all the details of my life, but they can still somehow tell me the details of who I am or why I'm thinking the way I am right now. It's crazy. Right. But it was so needed, because I feel like, I think it would be ignorant of us to believe that these therapists are not gifted by God to be able to help us as believers. And that's one thing that I'm starting to come to realize. Not that I was ever really opposed to therapy, I just had never made the true effort to take it on. But I think that these are people who are truly blessed to handle the mind, and to guide us, and not to be the end all be all, but to be a tool. And if we use them as such, then it could be very beneficial.
Yes. So that's really like one of my main goals, to just normalize it. You know, I think a lot of the reason why people don't go, I don't even think sometimes it necessarily has to do with the church. I think it just has to do with the fact that they've never seen it. It's not something that they see, you know, people around them practicing. So they don't go. It's seen as, you know, an outlier type of thing. Like, those people go to therapy. And then also, people don't want to be seen as crazy. They think that, you know, if I go to therapy, that means that something's wrong with me. But I also am really big on educating people and realizing that therapy is not just a place to go when you have issues. I talk to my therapist about the good things that are going on in my life, my accomplishments. And I know that she's genuinely happy for me, because, you know, we have these conversations about my life and the progress that I'm making. And so it's just really refreshing to be able to have someone who's not biased, who's not personally affected by the things that happen to me, to be there for me and also still support. And then to touch on another thing that you said, you know, you're saying that you're privileged to be able to go see a therapist because of your insurance. That's really something that kind of drove me to start this, because I knew a lot of people didn't even know where to start in finding a therapist, in trying to seek the help. Or a lot of people will make the appointment but never end up going. And that's really what my services hone in on, is consulting to assist people with finding a therapist, staying in therapist, and making sure in therapy, and making sure that the therapist that you have is culturally competent and a good fit for you.
I love it. I think that's super important. I'm a actress, so I spend a lot of time watching television and movies. And This Is Us had a really good depiction of therapy in their past season, not this most recent season, but the season prior. And there's a character on the show named Randall who goes into therapy, and he thinks he's got it all figured out, so much so that he goes in there with like crafted stories to tell the therapist. And the therapist is like, you know, come back when you're ready to tell me what you're really going through. And I thought that that was just so interesting, because I'm very much a perfectionist, and it's hard to open up and be completely vulnerable in a situation like that with a stranger, let alone. But you just have to get comfortable. So it does take time to get comfortable. I don't know that I was 100% comfortable, although I am a people person. But after a while, and I got my feet wet, I was like, yeah, okay, well, let me tell you about this too. You just get more and more comfortable, which ultimately is it's a method of being free. It sets you free, going in there and being able to unload those things. And like you said, sometimes it's not always bad. You can go in there and you can tell them the good things you've got going on. And it just helps to have someone, like you said, to be a cheerleader for you and to be genuinely happy for your accolades and your accomplishments. So prayer is often given as a solution to problems, like I said, within the Christian faith and amongst believers in general. Do you think it's safe to say that others think that there's other things that need to accompany prayer? Like in this perfect situation, therapy, or I'm big on self-reflection or whatever the case may be. Do you think it's necessary to have something else accompany it as opposed to just simply saying, okay, prayer is the solution?
Most definitely. I think especially in the Christian faith to realize it's the same thing as in, you know, our faith. Like, yeah, we can pray all day, but there's work that we have to do as well. You know, like you need to be reading your Bible. You need to be, you know, having those intimate conversations with God and like examining yourself. The same thing goes with therapy. I think that people need to focus on self-exploration, evaluation, setting boundaries, self-care, you know, meditation, those types of things. And I think it's not something that comes overnight. It's like a try and see what works for you type of thing. And I know a lot of people, it's uncomfortable to have to reflect on, you know, the things that you may have gone through in your life. But those things in combination with prayer help you make progress forward. They help you learn about yourself in a different way. And then also going to therapy. I feel like therapists are a catalyst to basically help you process the thoughts and, you know, experiences that you've gone through in an unbiased way. So you may be stuck. You may not even be realizing that some of the things that you have gone through in your life, you know, have caused you to have certain issues now, present day. But the therapist, when you tell them these things, they can get you kind of thinking and make you come to an understanding of, you know, what it is that's really bothering you and what you can do to fix these things. You know, without therapy, it's kind of difficult to do that because you just may be unaware.
And that's very true, because for me, like I said, self-reflection has become something that's super important to me. And if I don't write it down and make it plain, sometimes I don't see those things. And then you write it, start to figure out things that you may like about yourself and might not like about yourself, but then you can address them. Then you can, you know, fight and battle those beasts. Because at the end of the day, it is, you know, my relationship, like I said, I grew up in the church, so my relationship with God is so important to me. But there's something like that is not as tangible when you're doing prayer than when you're talking to someone or communing with someone, which is why I think God created community and developed other human beings for us to be able to commune with and lean on. So I think having that therapist who is, you know, someone who is, like I said, unbiased, or who is looking at your situation without judgment, it helps you to reflect on the things that you've gone through and how they have affected you and how they ultimately have shaped who you are today. So we're kind of like answering the next question here, but I guess we can go more in depth. Like, what do you think some of the benefits of therapy are?
Yeah, benefits of therapy. Maybe for people who are, you know, not as able to express themselves, it puts you in a place where you're kind of forced to do that, or in a place where you feel safer to do that than you might with different people. It teaches you about like what your triggers could be, what things have affected you, like you said. So pretty much self-reflection and how you can utilize that. And then also just having a listening ear, because sometimes we can vent to like friends, family, and things like that. But at the end of the day, those people know you in a different context than what your therapist knows you. And so you may hold back. You may not really put it on them because you feel like, oh, well, I know what they have going on, so I don't want to tell them, you know, exactly what I have going on because it may be too much for them. But with the therapist, they're just literally there as a listening ear. Because sometimes I know some sessions I'm with my therapist and I'm like, dang, she hasn't said anything. I've been talking this entire time. But then I realize, needed that. I really needed to get whatever that was out. And you know, she's trained to deal with those things versus me telling someone else. And then like afterwards, me feeling like, should I have told them that? Maybe I was like oversharing, or, you know, they're not really going to be able to give me any advice back. And then, like I said before, being able to share the good times as well, your accomplishments and things like that, like, and share it with someone who can like give you some perspective on, you know, where to go from here, and, you know, how process your feelings about how you're feeling about those things. That's pretty much the benefits I feel. And then a lot of another thing is that people don't realize that there's so many different types of therapy. So the type of therapy that most people think about is like therapist, you're sitting on a couch, you talk, which is called psychotherapy. And I love psychotherapy, but everyone's means of expression is not the same. So I'm really big on pushing people to try art therapy, music therapy. There's equine therapy where you can like go do therapy with horses. They have animal assisted therapy. And with my services, that's something that I really hone in on. Like, what do you think would be the best way for you to be able to express yourself to someone else? Because I know there are some people who have had, you know, trauma in their lives and things happen to where they don't necessarily feel comfortable sitting down and talking to a stranger, whether they're a therapist or not. And so it's just really important to find, I guess, like the particular type of therapy that works for you. And then from that point on, it's gonna feel good. And sometimes it takes time. Like, it's kind of like going to the regular doctor. You don't always stick with the same doctor. Sometimes you'll find a doctor and you're like, I'm just not really feeling this person. It's no hard feelings. You find another one, and then you just kind of work through that same thing until you find your fit.
Yeah, I love that. I think one thing that you touched on that was very important is that there's all different types of therapy. I had the pleasure of working in theatrical therapy, which was basically where I was able to work with young adults and youth who were in foster care and were moving toward living in a home with a family. So there's this transitional period where they need to role play what that process is going to look like, or what it's going to be like to be in this new home. And that was an easier way for them to do it than to explain it to you as a kid. Like, you know, reenacting those moments helped them to express themselves. And that process and learning that and understanding what that did for others was so interesting to me because, you know, to me as an actress, sometimes performing is therapy for me. It's definitely a catharsis. Mm-hmm. But to, you know, share that with someone else in a way in which it was helping them to move through a very rough and transitional period was so interesting to me. So I think it's great to know that you don't just have to sit down on the couch and talk to someone. You can go and you can be with animals, like you said, or you can do art, or you can do music, whatever the case may be, however it is that you communicate. I think that it's great to know that you don't have to pick one thing. I think one other great thing that you said too was knowing that you don't have to stick with one person. I think some people might get turned off by the first therapist that they meet and they'll be like, oh, right, I don't know if I want to do this anymore, but that might not be that's not the end all be all, you know, find another one and see if that's a better fit until you get the right shoe. So I think it's very important to consider that as well. If I were to talk about the benefits of therapy, ironically, it falls right in line with who we are as Freedom Revamped. Therapy is a very freeing experience. It's almost like the most free I've felt in a conversation with another human being. And the reason why I say that is because you mentioned that too, that when you're talking to friends and family, sometimes you find yourself holding back because you are concerned about what they'll think, or about what they'll say, or about how they'll handle the information that you share with them. But this stranger, you don't care. You're just uninhibited, and you can tell them whatever, you know, you feel comfortable telling them. So I think that there was a different kind of vulnerability that I had, because being vulnerable right now with you and with the listeners, when I first graduated college, I was struggling with comparison and like watching others around me and where they were going and where their careers were going, or maybe they were going to graduate school and I wasn't, or whatever the case may be. And that was a conversation I didn't want to have with my friends who were, you know, basking in their success, and I wanted to celebrate their success. But I also was struggling with the fact that I felt like maybe that was something that I wanted to do or that I needed to do, but I didn't know how to express that to them. So I think it's so important to, like I said, to truly free yourself from any of the judgment you might have with friends and family, to speak with someone who has no judgment. They could care less about those details to judge you or to chastise you for them. They just want to know them so that they can help you. Right. They're there to help you. They're not there to hurt you. So I think that that's something that's super important when it comes to therapy. We didn't really cover this, but I definitely wanted to ask, why do you think that some believers are opposed to therapy? Because that is a very real occurrence. There's several people that I've come in contact with who are just like, I don't feel like I need to talk to anybody. I mean, like, what are they going to do to help me? And although I understand the sentiment to an extent, there is so much that those people have studied and separate from studying, so much that they can do for you when it comes to therapy that people are missing out on. So why do you think or believe that some Christians are opposed to therapy?
So I grew up in the church and, you know, was around that same mindset. And I too had that same mindset probably until I was about in college and I got into my major. I'm a social work. I was a social work major. I have a bachelor's of social work. And so before I learned these new things, I kind of was of that same mindset. I didn't really understand why. It's just like everybody else was feeling this way about it. So it kind of just trickled down to me. But I think that one, it's the fear of the unknown. It's not something that's talked about in the church. And so the church is a place where a lot of people seek guidance. It's where they take a lot of their direction from. And so if in the church we're not talking about seeking therapy or, you know, taking care of your mental health, then it's in your mind, it's like automatically, oh, well, that's not something that I should be doing. And then another thing, it's the stigma tied to it because people don't want to be thought of, you know, as crazy or looked at as an outcast, like something is wrong with you. And then I also think something that I've come to realize more recently because of my own personal, you know, journey with my faith, that people don't want to seem as though their faith is weak in God. Like, because I'm going to seek therapy, I really don't trust, you know, me just praying and speaking to God about it. I don't trust that he's going to heal me. Instead of looking at it from the standpoint, no, like you said, he put these people here, you know, to be of use to us, to be a tool so that we can heal. So I think that it's really up to the churches and the leaders in the church to kind of like bridge this gap. And that's something that I really want to do, reach out to churches, reach out to pastors and congregations and just find a way to come to a common ground and realizing that, like I said, the two things have more commonality than we actually think, and that there's a way to incorporate, you know, mental health education and going to therapy into the church.
I would definitely agree. I think that's it right there. That's one solution or one practical way in which we can make sure that people are more informed about therapy is to start at the source. If we are teaching these things in church or if we are offering these resources, then people are more susceptible to take advantage of them and to utilize them. We have so many people who struggle within the church that might be struggling silently because they don't know that they can, you know, use a resource such as therapy to help them understand their feelings and what they're thinking or what they're going through. So I definitely feel like if we were to get people on board to say, hey, I think it's important that maybe we do a health forum and we bring in therapists and allow them to discuss the benefits of therapy with the congregation, how useful that could be. Because we do health fairs all the time at church, but oftentimes those are health fairs are in relation to physical health when they're not thinking too much on the mental health. But I definitely think mental health is something that we need to hone in on within the church. If we separate, like, so now we discussed being a believer and we've discussed therapy separately. If we separate therapy from the concept of church or being a Christian or being a believer, I still feel like you said too, a lot of people are just opposed to the concept because it seems as if something has to be wrong with you in order for you to go to therapy. So ironically, that's why I ended up going. I felt a distinct change within what I was like, the way in which my mind was working and my thoughts were. And I was like, I have to get into therapy. Like, it's a must at this point. What brought you to therapy?
So I personally live with clinical depression and anxiety. Now, until I was in college, I did not know that that's what, you know, was wrong with me, should I say. That's what I would have thought back then. I didn't know that was my diagnosis. And so I just always went through a lot of things and had a lot of behaviors that I just could not understand why I couldn't break them, or why I was always going through these bouts where I was just completely down and I didn't want to do anything. I didn't want to eat. I didn't want to talk to anybody. And like having the anxiety when nothing was wrong with me at all, like just not understanding it. And I was like, I had started my first big girl job. I was a case manager and I just became extremely overwhelmed. And I thought it was due to the work, but one thing about me is that I love what I do so much that it usually doesn't cause me any stress because I actually enjoy what I'm doing. And so I couldn't just figure out what it was. And I was like, okay, this makes no sense to me. But from my knowledge that I got in school, this is what it sounds like. So I'm just going to give it a try. I wasn't really believing that's what was wrong with me, but I'm like, you know what? I've tried everything else. I'm going to go ahead and try. And then when I went, like after the first time I went, I was like, I feel better. And every time after that, I felt a little bit better. And then also having someone tell me, you know, like the things that you're feeling are not just like in your head. You're not just going crazy. Like there may be something else going on with you that's causing you to feel this way and causing you to have these behaviors. And so once I realized that, I realized, and I do take medication, but as well, I continuously go to therapy because we're all in a process of growing and we're all, you know, ever evolving. We're always changing. And so with that, you still need help processing those types of things and things of that nature. So it just made me decide, you know what, this is something that I have to make a priority in my life. So just like you, people prioritize like checkups and going to the dentist, same thing with therapy.
It's so crazy because that's one of the main reasons why I found myself in therapy. I struggled with anxiety and had no name for it, no true understanding. I was Googling and coming up with WebMD diagnoses that were like seemingly ridiculous. And I was like, okay, I need someone who knows what they're talking about to tell me why I'm feeling like this. I had my first anxiety attack just a year out of college. And that was something that I had never experienced before. I did not know what was happening. It was taking over my body. And I was like, okay, what was that? I needed answers, but I didn't know how to explain it. Another thing that was becoming a reoccurring thing was like friends and family asking me like, you know, what's going on or why are you feeling this way and not having an explanation. I was like numb. I was going through life, going through the motions. It was a struggle to get out of bed. When I didn't have to do anything, I didn't want to do anything. I was neglecting friends and family, super irritable, and I didn't know what it was. So being able to actually put a name to it, I think was helpful for me. Like you said, making sense of the things that we're doing and not feeling like I'm crazy. I felt like I was crazy. And once I figured it out, then I could put a name to it. And even with that, it was like, okay, now that I know that I'm dealing with this, is there a cure? How do I get out of this? Like, it's not something that I was used to, although it was something that now that I've been in therapy and I'm looking back at it, it's probably something that I was battling with for some time and just didn't know. But it's something that you want to be able to identify so that then you could work through it. I talked about self-reflection before, and at this point I'm like, I want to write a book because self-reflection has really changed my life. Like being able to commit time to yourself the same way you would commit to anything else, to just truly reflect on what it is you're feeling, why it is you're feeling it, and understanding those things so that you can become a more well-rounded person. Like you said, we're ever changing and ever evolving, and that's a part of that experience. It's really helped me, and ultimately set me free in a lot of places in life that I was like, oh my gosh, like, why am I battling with this still? And then looking at it in my self-reflection, I'm like, oh, well, you're going to keep battling with it until you break this habit. So it's just been really helpful. And I'm really blessed to have, like I said, been privileged enough to have started therapy and working through that process right now. So you talked about pray and go to therapy. And I want to know, for the sake of the listeners, how can we get started with reaching out to you and seeking therapy and getting started with that if we've never done it before?
Okay, so my website is www.praygototherapy.com. And on the website, if you click under services, I offer different packages depending on where you are, you know, in your appointment setting or, you know, wanting to seek therapy journey. And I have packages for people who may just need a reference. You know, maybe you just need me to give you a name of someone and then you can make your own appointment, all the way to me sitting down with you, going over your insurance or your budget and figuring out exactly what it is that you need and how to book it. And you just schedule an appointment with me. I'll do a consultation with you and then we'll have another appointment and we'll get you started. And then I'll also do follow-ups with you to make sure, you know, that you're actually going to therapy, or that if you went and you don't like it, that we can, you know, go back and find you someone who's a better fit. My social media is on Instagram, it's Pray and Go to Therapy. And on Facebook as well, it's Pray and Go to Therapy. So PrayandGoTherapy.
I love it. Well, I want to say thank you to you, Dev, because you've been super vulnerable in this conversation, but you've also dropped so many gems. And then you've just lent us an amazing opportunity to utilize your services because, like I said, I don't know what took me so long. I wish I would have started sooner, but I'm just happy that I've started. So to know that there are people who are committing their time to helping people begin that process, I want to personally thank you for your obedience.
Oh, thanks.
You're welcome. So before we go, you kind of told everyone how that they could follow you and how they could stay abreast to what you have going on. But I just want to quickly ask, for the sake of the listeners and for myself, because I kind of want to know, do you plan to do any types of events or online forums, considering the times right now, to discuss therapy and the benefits of therapy with others?
Yes. So this is something that everybody's been like pushing me to do and like asking me, you know, when are you having something? So things are coming. 2021.
Yay! Well, I'm gonna keep an eye out.
Things are coming. And I'll keep an eye out. Things are coming 2021. People have really been pushing me into my purpose. This whole pray and go to therapy thing really started from people being like, you know what? You've been candidly sharing what you've been going through, you know, with your depression and anxiety. Like, we appreciate you doing that. But we want more from you. And that's kind of how praying good. And so I feel like it's only right to keep it going. And so, like I said, 2021, be on the lookout. And I'm always open to doing like collaborations with other people in mental health and in the faith community as well. So send me a DM, an email. I'm always open.
Well, we will definitely be sure to stay in contact with you for future references. Please make sure that you are staying abreast to what Dev has going on. Visit the website, utilize her services, and really take a chance on yourself and on therapy. I've shared how it's helped me. Dev has shared how it's helped her, and we hope that it can help you as well. We talk about practicing freedom, and this is truly a way in which you can do so. So as always, practice freedom, and we can't wait to hear from you guys again. Take care.